not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we welcome you this morning to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the evangelization of the lost and the revival of God's people. This broadcast is brought to you by Gospel Dynamite. I'm Alan Mashburn, your speaker, and the interim pastor of Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove, North Carolina. At any given time, I invite you to log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and follow our ministry. Now we invite you to open your Bible as we teach from the Word of God.
You're listening to Gospel Dynamite. Thank you for joining us. We ask that you take your Bible and turn with us to Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Today, we continue in our study in the book of Romans, where the law fails, faith prevails. Where the law fails, faith prevails. Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. As we continue to move through this fourth chapter of Romans, we've been challenged by the life of Abraham. He was a man who was highly revered by the Jews of Paul's day, and Paul appealed to Abraham's life to teach his readers that salvation was purely the work of God. He's already taught us that works cannot save us in verses 1 through 8. Then he showed us that circumcision couldn't save the soul in verses 9 through 12. In these verses we have before us, Paul is going to reveal to us the truth that keeping the law cannot save the soul either. Sadly, many in our day seem to think that salvation works according to that principle. For many believe that if they do all the good things and avoid the bad things, then somehow God is obligated to let them into heaven when they die. My friends, if you believe that, you're guilty of believing a false doctrine. The truth of the matter is this: nothing you do can save your soul. It is not, nor has it ever been, about what you do. Salvation is always rested on who you know. Now, this is the lesson that Paul wants to teach us in this chapter. He wants us to learn the truth that the law is a system of works, while faith is a system that works. Law is a system of works, while faith is a system that works. Therefore, we look and we see where the law fails, faith prevails. Verses 13 through 15, we have the problem with the law. The key that unlocks the door of understanding these verses is the fact that Paul is referring to a promise that the Lord made to Abraham. Now, that promise is found in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now we have in that passage a threefold promise. God promised to make him, Abraham, the father of a multitude, and to give his offspring the land and to bless all the nations of the world through him. Now, this promise boils down to a promise of salvation and points ahead to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years later. The idea that Paul was trying to get across in this verse is that this promise had nothing to do with the law. In fact, this promise was given 500 years before the law was given on Mount Sinai. So Paul's point is that the promise and the law are two separate events, and they must not be confused. The promise that Abraham received was not based on his goodness or on his keeping a series of rules. It was based entirely on his faith in God. And God did not look at Abraham and say, "Abe, you've been a pretty good fellow, and you've done all that I asked. Because of that, I'm going to bless you." No, in truth, Abraham failed God. For Abraham was a frail human being just like the rest of us. Yet he received the promise from the Lord. It was not based on his goodness. It was based entirely on the goodness of the Lord, and it swung on the hinge of faith. Now, if the promises of God do require people to keep the law of God to obtain them, what does that say about the law and about faith? Well, Paul answers that in three short statements, and we need to understand them. Verse 14, we see that it cripples faith. According to Paul, faith and the law are mutually exclusive. If the promises of God are given out on a merit basis, then faith has no place in our lives. You cannot have both at the same time. In other words, if you can get to heaven by keeping the law, then you don't need faith. However, if faith alone saves, then it does not matter whether you keep the law or not. Now, this is the root of salvation. It all boils down to what a person is trusting to get them to heaven. If I believe that I must do certain things and keep certain rules in order to be saved, then I'm relying on the law. Even if I feel that I must do certain things in my life to remain saved, I am relying on the law. If I'm trusting things, works, and rules to get me to heaven, then I have nullified any faith of which I might possess. However, if I'm trusting faith to save me, then I know that it isn't what I do, but it is who I know that makes the difference in my salvation. Now, with that in mind, I want to say that you can try to get to heaven any way you want to. You can try to be good and get there. Or you can try to get there by trusting Jesus. But you cannot have it both ways. It is either by the law or it is by faith. Not only in verse 14 does Paul reveal that it cripples faith, but it also cancels promises. Now, if salvation comes about by keeping the law, then we do not need the promises of God. What's the point of believing? If I can please God by behaving right, then I don't need Him to get to heaven. I can get there on my own just by doing what is right. Sadly, your efforts will never work to save your soul. No matter how good you try, no matter how much you try, we cannot keep the law perfectly. It just will not work. Now suppose I offered you $100 to climb up on top of a building, jump off, flap your arms, and fly around the parking lot. What if I offer you $1,000 or maybe $10,000? Let's make it $500,000. Absolutely no one would try it. Because it would not matter if I offered you $1 billion. No one in this listening area or in this world could do it. It's absolutely impossible. So it is with trying to obtain salvation by keeping the law. No person can keep the law of God 100% of the time. It doesn't matter how hard you try, you cannot do it. Now, Paul also denotes that in verse 15, it condemns sinners. A third problem with the law is that it is the basis of our condemnation before God. So basically stated, the demands of the law are impossible for us to keep. Therefore, the more God demands from us, the more we fail. The more we fail, the greater our guilt. The greater our guilt, the greater God's wrath against us. In other words, we're in deep trouble because we cannot keep the law of God. The bottom line, if you're trusting that you're going to be able in some way, shape, or form to keep the law, that is by your own works, to get you to heaven, you are in a hopeless situation. Here's the problem with trying to be good enough to get to heaven. James chapter 2 and verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Simply stated, if you only break one area of the law of God, then you're guilty of it all. Now suppose for an instant that you steal something. You might think that you've only broken the eighth commandment. Exodus 20 and verse 15, "Thou shalt not steal." However, a closer look at the Bible reveals that in fact, if we have stolen, we have violated the entire Word of God. Notice what Jesus said. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I remember some time back, I broke a window. All I did was knock a small hole in the corner of the window. I only broke part of it, but the entire window had to be replaced. You see, there's no such thing as a little sinner. There's no such thing as a moderate sinner. That's kind of like saying that a woman is just a little bit pregnant. In the final analysis, we need to understand that if we have broken the law of God in just one point, then we're guilty of breaking the entire law. God requires nothing less than absolute perfection from you and me. Therefore, we should praise God that salvation does not come by keeping the law, but by simply believing in Jesus. Now in verses 16 and 17, we have the power of faith. Paul begins in verses 13 and 15, the problem with the law. Now he moves into the power of faith. Paul reveals the other side of the coin. He tells us that in these two verses that salvation by faith is far superior to the law because faith does what the law can never do. Let's notice some truths here. To start with, in verse 16, it admits the need for grace. Faith realizes the human inability to keep the law. It realizes that salvation must come about by the grace of God, or it will never happen. You see, grace is the unmerited love, the unmerited favor of God toward sinners. Since salvation is undeserved, remember, we are sinners. It is undeserved, and it's based entirely in the grace of God. It totally rules out the idea of working or any type of performing to obtain salvation. Not only that, but in verse 16, it assures the soul of salvation, faith. The problem addressed here is the one of assurance. If salvation is produced by keeping the law, then no one can ever be sure if they're really saved. Is it possible to be sure of salvation? Absolutely. It certainly is. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." This verse is clear. It is possible to be sure that you are saved. However, if I must keep the law to be saved, then I can never really know for sure if I'm saved. The only real way that I can ever be sure of heaven and of my salvation is by faith. Now, think through this with me. The Bible tells us that no liars will be allowed in heaven, Revelation 21 and verse 8, and Revelation 21 and verse 27. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever told a lie? What does that mean for you if you have? Does it all hinge on how many lies you've told? Is it one lie, two lies, 100 lies that will keep you out of heaven? Are little white lies okay? What about stealing? Have you ever stolen anything? Ever cheated on your taxes? Have you always given God an honest tithe? Bible tells us that stealing breaks the law. Well, if that's the case, then how much stealing is enough to keep you out of heaven? $10? $100? $1,000? Now let's look at it from the other side. How much good do you need to do to be sure that you're saved? How many good deeds need to be performed for you to be sure that you're saved? I think you see the point. If salvation comes about by the law, then you can never know for sure where you stand. But we can praise the Lord because Paul tells us that the grace of God makes God's promise of salvation through faith sure. You and I can know salvation is a reality. Now, this is the basic problem faced by people who teach that one can lose their salvation. How do you lose it? Is it one sin? Is it 10 sins? Do you have to totally renounce Jesus as Savior? Where do you draw the line? People who believe that they are responsible to maintain their salvation are in the same shape as those people to which Paul was writing. They feel that their salvation hinges on their being able to keep a certain set of rules or regulations. It's my opinion that people who really believe they have to keep themselves saved are trusting their works, and they're not trusting Jesus alone. I have doubts about that kind of salvation. Salvation comes by grace through faith alone, then my works have absolutely no bearing on my salvation. If I sin, I will be chastened, but I will not, I cannot lose my salvation because it's not mine to lose. I am kept by the power of God, and nothing can change that fact. You can believe anything you want to believe about this matter, but as for me, I will trust Jesus Christ and Him alone to get me to heaven. If it's up to me to keep myself in the faith, then I'll see you in hell, because that's where we'll all end up if I have to keep up with my own salvation. Verse 17, it allows all who will be saved. Paul draws from Genesis 17 and verse 5 to make this point, and he reminds us that God promised to make Abraham the father of many nations, not just to the Jews. Now, since it is by faith, salvation is available to every person in the world. There's no prerequisites. There are no additional requirements. God has thrown open the doors of salvation and invites anyone who will come to be saved. If there were restrictions on salvation, then certain people, certain groups of people would be left out. If it were just for the rich, the poor would go to hell. If it required an advanced education, then the uneducated would go to hell. The point is, salvation is for all people from every walk of life, in every situation, in every circumstance. When Jesus died on that cross, He died for the sins of the world, and anyone who will come to Him can be saved. Verse 17 also, it acknowledges the power of God to save. Faith works because it rests in the power of God. Paul describes the Lord in two ways. Number one, He makes the dead to live. Number two, He speaks and things which have not existed become a reality. When Abraham placed his faith in God, he was made alive in God, and he received things from God that were impossible from a human standpoint. He saw a son born when he was 100 and his wife was 90 years of age. And this illustrates the basic problem with the law. The law cannot change the sinner. It cannot make him alive. All the law can do is point out our weaknesses and remind us of impending judgment. This also illustrates the power of faith. Faith saves because faith looks beyond the weakness and sinfulness of the man and looks to a God who has the power to make the dead sinner alive and who has the power to take that person to heaven, not by goodness, but by the power of the Lord. Now, in closing, what does all this mean? Simply this. If we ever hope to reside in heaven, then we must learn the valuable lesson that it will only happen as we trust Jesus Christ by faith. Your good works, your good intentions cannot, will not save you. You're here on this earth and your life is as a vapor, and the entire purpose of your being here is to prepare for eternity. When your faith is placed in Jesus Christ for salvation, you are declared righteous before God. You are accepted by God. And you experience something that the law can never produce: a changed life, a new creation, an alive person in Lord Jesus Christ. At the moment of salvation, you are given the very life of Christ, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And God begins the work of changing you from the inside out. Keeping the law demands outward change, but it can never change the heart. Salvation, on the other hand, changes the heart, which produces an outward change with little effort on the part of the child of God. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Does it rest in the futility of the law and in doing good, or does it rest in Jesus Christ and His shed blood? Where's your faith? Your eternity hinges on your answer. Your entire eternity hinges on the answer that you give right now. Where is your faith? Come to Christ. Consider Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus. It will be the best decision you ever make. He will make your life brand new. He will give you hope. He will give you a destiny. He will give you a brand new destination. And He will give you a brand new, cleaned up USDA choice heart. You'll walk with a spring in your step because you have a Holy Spirit living inside your heart. Come to Christ. Consider Him this morning.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.